Vaga, good morning.
Good morning.
There are two things happening today, this morning, in Repo community.
There is. It's two happy things. Yesterday already, SACPREM's team came down here to start immediately reinforcing the one leg from my house, which was suspended in mid-air. No support anymore in the foundation. So something needed to be done immediately, and came with his team to do that. So they finished already using all the rubbish from the snack bar and the big yellow house in Sam's house that they could find, which was already broken or easily broken with hammers.
So yesterday, SACPREM already reinforced the foundation of your house.
So yeah, that part, and as much as they could with the material lying around, they did already. They intended to come back today anyway, but they didn't know how they would break the big chunks of buildings that are still lying there. But then independently, the working committee or something like that, I don't know exactly which group, but likely the working committee, has asked that the necessary machine which can break down the big chunks should be brought here this morning itself. And it will be done by the cyclone relief cleaning team of Alok and Bumi. Bumi came already and did the whole cleanup of the place wonderfully some time back, and he was very happy to come again here. You see, there are, you don't imagine the number of young Orovillians, especially the Tamil Orovillians, who came to me specially to express their shame and sorrow to see that place abandoned and left in this condition. When their whole childhood, you see, they were used to coming here, and it's part of their life and of Oroville, and where their children will go if Oroville, you know, abandons this place and there is no Oroville beach as such anymore, you know. And so they were quite distressed, and I told them, look, you know, your voice also has to be heard, you see. In Oroville, everybody participates in what is happening or not happening. So they are coming this morning with that big machine, and it's good because yesterday the workers from SACPREM were already a good group, but not enough for going on with the work efficiently enough. Already before, another team of people, you know, the people from ARCA also have been helping already since more than 1 month, nearly 2 months now. Both financially and whenever some work needed to be done that we couldn't do on our own with the normal employees here. So a few days back, also during the big wave thing, the pre-cyclone days, you know, just recently, our big water tank, so many huge rings, fell down into the ocean. So from ARCA, a team was organized of workers who came and retrieved all the huge rings, and now they are all safely back from the ocean and more inland, where we will be able to rebuild our water tank. So like that, everything is disorganized at present, because also the electrical lines got cut. Also our fence is totally gone, except that we could retrieve most of the pillars. So that will be less expensive to rebuild. But without a fence, many people come, and of course, they think mostly of stealing whatever they can.
Whatever you feel like.
So also the electrical lines are broken, or, you know, some pipes. So yesterday, the shower on the other side of the place, which is where I now live, it had to be fixed completely, so that there is water too. As at the moment, most of our water has turned saline, but with the recent rains, at least it is less saline already. Mm-hmm. Normally, every year, after the big monsoon, the water in our own wells turns sweet again. So hopefully again this year it will be like that. But otherwise we...
But I think Yakfandin is working on the salination processes, how to, because also that face, and that we will have to face
this
up
is
in
when there is here. No, this is when there is not enough summer monsoon, you see, and also I think we have to use a different system for the water pumping, because the big electrical pumps take too much too fast out of the water table, and then it attracts, it sucks in the salt water from nearby, you see, so it's not a very good thing. The next, we have luckily one tap now, thanks to Vasu's hard work with the local authorities. We have got one tap of permanent sweet water coming from more inland. So that, whenever money comes, we will be able to have an underground tank to collect that water every day and then send it, you know, wherever it is needed for the washing machine. Washing machine broke down because also of the salt water. And also we used to have our Aquadyne machine, which was ruined years back because of the salinization of the water. So only when we get the permanent sweet water supply, we can put back our Aquadyne machine and have our normal drinking water supply.
This morning, Vasu mentions also the remedies for the beach. So what's going to happen?
So what is some things can be done only by the government, you know, on big scale. And I don't know exactly what they are planning to do. Maybe it will be the groins kind of thing, you know, like mini dikes or whatever you would call, going straight into the sea. So that stabilizes the situation for that area. That's it. Otherwise, there are sea walls, but which
that is not official yet. You don't know.
We don't know yet, but we have heard recently that some decision has been taken. But so many times I've heard rumors, and then nothing happened, or different things than what had been heard before.
But I think the groins or the seawall can help to stop the erosion.
Oh, definitely, that helps. But the problem is that it perpetuates the problem. Yeah. In that sense, that it creates erosion for the next area of beach. You see, it passes a bucket, you know, further down the coast. So, of course, the people who build the groins, you see, are very happy because it's a very, very interesting financially operation every time for them. But it is not at all the ideal solution because it only perpetuates the problem. But indeed, it protects the area where...
But can it protect from the melting the poles, the north and south poles?
The what?
The water is also, the sea level
is
rising.
In this area of the Indian Ocean, nothing like that is happening yet. There are some other parts where something, but it is minimal. It doesn't have much to do with what is happening now at all. And, you know, because of what is happening here, I really studied the thing around the world. And I discovered that all around the world, there is accelerated erosion of the beaches, and it is usually put, you see, on the sea level rising, etc. And in most cases, it is not true at all. It is the creation and development, you know, ceaselessly of ports, without the necessary precautions, the bypasses, the dredging of the sand, etc., which has that effect of creating erosion in the coastal areas nearby. And this is the actual responsible thing. But it is not said, so that, you know, the economical interests in all that.
Can you imagine to ask Pondicherry to remove groin?
No, not to remove, but you can make bypasses. You know, there are ways to let, near the shore itself, to let the water go with some of the sand, and that regulates already solutions are there, only nobody takes them. You see, they don't have to pay for the damage they create for the populations down the coast. They are not held responsible by any law, or at least the laws are not applied. So people, you know, do whatever they want and don't care about the consequences for other people's life and livelihood. So this is the present situation here. In some other countries in the world, the population has reacted and now people have to pay. And I can tell you, now they are very careful the way they do ports, or, you know, they take the necessary precautions that this erosion thing doesn't happen.
And think regionally, or at least further. Yeah.
But you see, as human beings, we need both beaches and ports, you see?
Yes.
Done properly and in the correct balance. Mm. It's not that the ports should be the big thing, you see, and then beaches are sacrificed. And where will our children go to play, you know, if all the beaches disappear?
Mm-hmm. Okay, beside that, also I see Jan is here from Peaceful City Action, yeah?
Yeah, so this is a very nice event also. Maybe you could ask him, as he's right here. He would be happy to contribute his bit, explaining how this...
No, he's not well, maybe you can say.
Okay.
Or let's say somebody said, what does it help
so
if we go down and sit
this
with
is
you?
Another individual initiative which happened recently. Especially about Repo at first, but this is the first place where Jan felt he could call people to come. On a special day, on a special date, kind of, to express a sense of unity, solidarity with other people in Oroville, because we have become a bit too isolated from each other, everybody in their own community, with their own lives, their own concerns, etc. And there is a kind of inertia or apathy, or, you know, the collective flame of togetherness, he felt, was pretty much being lost. And so this is what he's trying to revive. And so other places also they will go to, you see, also to that people meet the people in that every time in that different place. So I am very happy with that kind of initiative. I think it's quite right.
Otherwise, do you feel the support from the community? Do you feel togetherness, or, as you said, it's a little bit lost?
Until now, it was disappointing in that sense that
you sent peace for that.
Yeah, you know, no action was taken from the, let's say, official Oroville to help what was, except after the cyclone, like for everybody, we you know, all of
the
settlements that needed help, we also received some help. But after that, specifically regarding this erosion problem, etc., no specific action was taken, and it was pretty much as if the beaches were completely on their own, you see, and nobody cared at a higher level in Oroville right now. That the beaches were lost completely or not, or what. So this is finally at least a sign of change in attitude.
Let's hope for the best, and that maybe the groin or something will happen fast,
yeah,
before your house collapses into the water.
One thing I would like to insist upon, most of the very nice other Orwellians who have come to meet with me, and they came with a lot of goodwill, etc., but also mostly worry, and no faith at all that some positive outcome is still completely possible.
So we lost our hope?
No, you see, I mean, it's as if the divine grace has no room in their thoughts. or in their, you know, the everything that counts is the advice of experts, and you know, the materialistic approach, like everywhere in the world. So I think this is also one change which has to happen in the overall mentality of the Eurovillians. We have very much to learn to use our thought power to make a different script, you see? It's not because the situation is bad at some point that it must necessarily go on being bad or even getting worse, which was automatically the picture in the mind of every single person who came to see me. You see? And something is wrong there. If we would be 2,000 people, you know, building up a different script with the power of our thoughts, I can tell you, Shorbino and Mother both have indicated ways to do that. It's not Bagat the naive or, you know, the idealistic, etc. It's facts. And this is one of the things that human beings have to learn for the future. And Orville is meant for that.
That means work with yourself.
Exactly. We are here for that. And then the outer means are also necessary to help. But basically, the protection is ensured, you see, by the inner power of the soul, plus the help of the divine grace, which is fully included in the picture. And that would change everything, not only for Repos, but for the destiny of Orville as a whole, our finances and whatnot. And this is really a new way of using our thoughts that must become a deliberate
Since you go into that water, let us speak, because I honestly believe that in the beginning it was not like that. Do you have any idea of when this turn off to the backtrack of materialism and the old ways happened?
Because we are more and more cornered into the ordinary way of doing things. Also, because I think this is not inevitable. It's simply because we have to, of course, obey the rules of India. But I had hoped that they would be made less stringent and less bureaucratic in the case of Orville. But I'm not sure it is the case. And I think it is a pity. So, you see, is that reintroduced into our minds and into our way of functioning, instead of remaining simply the Orville experiment with all its creativity and unexpected possibilities, you know, open possibilities for change, for new ideas, for new ways of functioning, less bureaucratic.
It's not only about bureaucracy, it's also about the set of mind which starts with the materialistic point, the way I see. It's starting with economy. We are really stuck on the capitalism which didn't work, and it's actually we are stuck on the old ways of the really exploitative capitalism.
Yeah.
So somehow I personally don't understand how come we went back. Do you have any idea why is that?
I think that danger was always there.
The community fought for it. How?
Also,
except few islands who are.
You see, I don't want to generalize because this is a danger.
It's a danger.
I think often now the people who come don't have to face the hard day-to-day life that we had to at the beginning of Orville, when there was nothing and you were very happy with the little which was there. So now people come, most of them expecting really a house, expecting this and that, expecting, you see. Well, and I'm not blaming them or criticizing them, but it that means the financial security will be really part of their expectations. And also, less people without personal means are being accepted because Orville at large feels it doesn't have enough money to give them maintenance, to support them, for whatever reason, I don't know. So, let's say, The danger for me is that Auroville becomes more and more only for the rich. This is what personally I'm trying to avoid, at least in a place like Repos, which is small scale, but voilà. I try to keep our little guest houses at an affordable price, even if that means, you see, the place is not very profitable. Because of that, you know, it could be very easy to transform this place into a much more profitable financially place. But then again, that means many youth, many young Indian people who are for whom this place becomes a door to Auroville at large, they could not afford to come here anymore. And I would feel I am exploiting people, and I didn't come to Auroville for that. So I just try, in my own corner of Auroville to do things in the way I feel is the Auroville way. Of course, there is place for money also in Auroville. Businesses are very... But we have to be extremely careful that the balance is kept overall. Otherwise, it's commercialization, of everything. On the pretext, on the excuse that we need the money. You see, I think this is a very dangerous trend.
Thank you for today, Barbara. Mm-hmm. I know that's gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming here.
So see you next time. Voilà.